Hello, Off the Ball rugby fans. Richie here. I want to quickly talk to you about therapy. This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. I wanted to take this time to say thank you to our wonderful producer, Jojo, because this month is all about gratitude. And along with the person I just shouted out to, there's another person we don't get to thank enough, ourselves. It's sometimes hard to remind ourselves that we are trying our best to make sense of everything. And in this crazy world, that isn't easy. Here's a reminder to send some thanks to the people in your life, including yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is answer a quick questionnaire to get matched with a therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With almost 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise. Visit betterhelp.com/OTB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/OTB. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Sam Prendergast, the good and the bad.
I think there's been a huge overemphasis on his involvement in the media. At risk of sounding like Roy Keane, like, to be a good kicker is his job.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now, what have you done with yourself for the last 6 months? It might not be as impressive as our guest here live in studio, Aaron King, who at the World Rugby Awards recently won Breakthrough Player of the Year. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. That's a nice introduction.
Yeah, you have the trophy with us here.
Yeah, the trophy there.
And a close up on that. Is it heavy? What are we talking? I haven't got a chance to lift
it. Not too heavy yet.
You should go off that. There, I'll pretend. Lighter than you think.
Well,
I'll tell you, there's a good substance to it.
Yeah.
World Rugby Women's 15s Breakthrough Player of the Year. Aaron, you've barely played any 15s.
Yeah, no, I haven't played too much 15s now, no.
Like, this must be some sort of world record in itself to win it with so few games. So, yeah. To give listeners a reminder, really, when you played a warm-up game before the WXV1 competition in Belfast against Australia,
yeah,
that was your fourth ever game of 15s rugby, is that correct?
Fourth ever game of senior 15s rugby, yeah. So, yeah, I was in camp for 2 weeks before that match. So, yeah, it was quite a quick learning curve compared to the sevens.
So let's start from the start. So it's sevens you're first involved in, and then how does the transition to 15s happen? Are you pushed that way, or do you want to do it yourself?
I mean, I've always obviously been interested in the 15s and always seen them and kind of thought, I wonder if I would get on well with them. And then I guess after the Olympics, the opportunity came up and a few of us got asked, would we want to give 15s a go? And yeah, I guess I kind of was like, I might as well just give it my all. If I'm not good at it, I'm not good at it, and I'll stick to the sevens, but I'll just throw the kitchen sink at it and see what I can do. And yeah, I ended up enjoying it and getting on quite well, and I was quite lucky the team's really progressed in the last year, and I got to come into a really good setup.
That's a really good point, because it was as recently as the start of last year where the 15s game was in turmoil in Ireland, that we had a really disheartening Six Nations. But look at 2024, and you've come in at an amazing time and added to it as well.
Yeah. No, like, the girls, obviously they've been working behind the scenes for years now and not really getting the rewards that they deserved, and, you know, haven't been getting the funding and the things like that they should have. And then the RFU invested loads into them, got us a great coaching staff, and it's finally paying off. And yeah, going into WXV1, I think a lot of people wrote the girls off and wrote us off and said we weren't quite ready. And yeah, there's a lot of belief in that squad, and the culture's great at the moment. And yeah, we kind of all had a common goal of doing as well as we could and coming second. I think we kind of proved everyone wrong.
What would you say is your biggest strength? Like, is it, other than your physical skill set as a rugby player, is it your self-belief to be able to make this transition and then be so impactful from the start?
Probably, like, you do have to have that belief where you're going to go nowhere. And I had to kind of big myself up going into 15s, being like, I am good enough to do this. And because there were definitely days I was like, I'm not a 15s player. Like,
really?
I can't wrap my head around the sport. You know, maybe it's just not for me.
And why did you think that? What were the reasons that you thought that?
Just like the structure of how you play and like following a system. I wasn't used to that, because in sevens you kind of just play what you see more so, and it's kind of down to athleticism, whereas 15s, like, you have to play how everyone else is playing and play how the coaches tell you to play and things like that. And even like the lineouts were so complicated at the start, and I was like, oh my god, I don't think I'm able to do these. And I'd never been in a mall before, and having to be in a mall with all these girls that are a lot bigger than me was quite scary at the start. And there was definitely a few days that I was, yeah, a few tears were shed leading into that Australia game.
Really? But
I kind of just persevered and was like, if I just, I might as well give it my best shot and I'll have no regrets. And yeah.
So what was it about going into that squad that you could play with a sense of freedom? And it feels like a lot of the players are really coming out of their shell and you're seeing the best out of them. Is it down to the management and Scott Beaman, or what is it that you felt that you could be free while playing?
I think it was down, yeah, definitely to the management. Like, Scott gave me so much freedom and he trusted me. Mm. And I felt that along with the other coach and staff. And then the girls, the senior girls in there, they just welcomed me so well and made me feel like I belonged. Like, I was a bit nervous going into like a completely new setup with new girls and, you know, everything's so different and they do things differently to how we do them in sevens and off pitch, on pitch. And I was quite nervous about that. But yeah, the girls were so patient with me and they brought me along. And yeah, they were never, I'd say they got frustrated at me at times, but yeah, they persevered as well. And yeah, it's definitely the culture in there helps everyone who comes in just thrive.
Is there a different culture between sevens and 15s actually?
Yeah, like we have different standards, different right. rules off pitch, like, yeah, completely different
right.
different cultures.
What transition would you say is harder, going from sevens to 15s or the reverse, from 15s to sevens? Because we saw Hugo Keenan do it at the Olympics.
Yeah. I'd probably say, well, I haven't done it, but I'd say 15s to sevens, because just the athleticism and like the high speed meters and you're quite used to in 15s just not going through the motions, but like having 80 minutes to play. Whereas in sevens, you have to be firing, ready to go. You can't warm up into the game. You have to, it takes practice, be on it from the get go. So I'd say that would be quite tough to go from 15s to sevens. But then again, going from sevens to 15s was tough. So yeah, I haven't done the reverse.
Well, you made the transition pretty easily, seamlessly.
Thank you.
Like, when you think back against Australia and then the big one was against New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah.
Talk us through that, coming off the bench and what happened.
I guess, yeah, like I've said, like, we had a lot of belief in the squad and we talked about kind of belief versus awe going into that game, how, like, obviously it's the Black Ferns, we're going to have to face the Haka, but let's embrace it. Let's embrace the challenge. And training was going really well the week leading up to it. And I think everyone in the room, we had a meeting before, I think everyone genuinely believed that we could beat them. And I think that's the most important thing. And then, yeah, we obviously, I came on and I think it was a bit touch and go when the time I came on in the game. And I was just like, I'm just going to do everything in my power to help the girls and help us win. And yeah, I think it was one of my favourite days in the green jersey.
Yeah, two tries.
Yeah, I was quite lucky to
level the
game. I just popped it over that. The girls did the hard work and I just got to put it on the try line. So, yeah.
I mentioned in the intro there that, like, the 6 months that you've had from, like, June to December is just remarkable. So, like, you're not content with winning this, like, incredible award and, you've made history with it being the first player. So that itself is incredible. Plan to go viral at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a picture of this, right? So you're just casually lifting your teammate and best friend, Emily Lane.
Yeah.
We might have to push up in a second, but talk to us about that, because I heard you speak during the week that was just completely normal. You do this all the time, like, it just happened to be the cameras caught it. There it is on screen for people who can't see it. You're basically missing out on one of the most remarkable sports photos of 2024.
Yeah, I suppose, like, everyone is so shocked by it, and I guess we just think it's normal because we, going into the Olympics, we hadn't really done the pod lift like that much in games. So we practiced it like day in, day out. Me, that's Emily Lane that I'm lifting. We would stay after training for like...
Your best friends, eh?
Yeah, we're best friends. We'd stay for hours after training, practicing. And I guess after the Olympics, the photos went viral and I didn't really think much of them when it first happened, because in sevens, you don't have time, but... Straight after the game, I was kind of walking around the stadium and Emily Lane's family were like, thank you so much for saving her. And I was like, what do you mean saving her? And I seen the photo, I was like, oh God, yeah, that one went a little bit further over than it normally does. But yeah, I guess that's just like a slither of like what we can do and the work that we put in, the S&Cs, all the training behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was a pretty important lift as well. And it did go so viral. Did you hear from anyone or did you get messages from anyone in particular? Because it really did just blow up.
Yeah, it blew up. Like, I got such a big following from it. I think going into the Olympics, I had like 3,000 followers or something like that. And then afterwards, I had like, I got like thousands of followers and things like that.
We actually have video footage of this moment, so we can play here.
Oh yeah.
It's so violent to look at. I mean, like, how in the name of God did you not drop your best friend on her head and do permanent damage?
Honestly, I think it must have been the adrenaline. I'd say the 66,000 people in the stadium helped the cause. And yeah, just the energy. I loved playing in front of that many people and I kind of thrived off it. So,
yeah. Well, what was the Olympics like in general? Because we've spoken to a few athletes since.
Yeah.
In the last few weeks, and medalists as well.
Yeah.
Just like the come down must be severe. Like that. I mean, I say a lot of Olympians struggled with it over the years, but what's it been like for yourselves? Because it was a mixed bag.
Yeah, like obviously we went and we were the first Irish women's sevens team to go, but we were still disappointed with the result. Like we knew we could go and we were medal contenders, and to not come away with a medal was really disappointing. And I think that was the hardest part of it for us. But then again, me personally, like I really enjoyed the experience. I wanted to take it all in and enjoy it, apart from the rugby, enjoy the off pitch and enjoy like the village and things like that.
Were you able to actually? Were you able to embrace that?
Yeah,
part of it?
Yeah, definitely. Like the first, we were there for like a week in the village beforehand, and I definitely took a few days, the first few days, to just kind of be like, you know what, we've worked hard and we've gotten here, so enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously switched on performance for the days leading into the games, and yeah, it was one of the best experiences of my life. And I think going and not doing as well, I now want to go to the next one and win a medal, and I know we're definitely capable of it. But I guess I didn't really have the come down that maybe other sports get, because I was straight into 15s and it was like, okay, what's next? Let's new challenge and let's see what we can do. So, yeah.
Like having the year that you've had with the Olympics, the breakthrough player of the year, was this something you always foreseen for yourself, or what was it like growing up? Was it always rugby?
I played any sport I could get my hand on, really. I loved Gaelic football, rugby, anything really. And yeah, I suppose I've always wanted, since I was younger, I've always said I want to be one of the best rugby players in the world. But obviously, a lot of kids say that.
You always said that?
I always said it. And I started playing rugby when I was 5 years of age. And I think when I was 10, I put a picture of the Olympic rings on my wall when I found out rugby sevens was going to be a sport in the Olympics. And yeah, I kind of just got it in my head and did everything in my power. There was obviously days that I really didn't think it was going to happen, and non-selections and things like that. And then I got my first contract when I was 17, and then since then I've been like, we're going to qualify and I'm where I want to go. So yeah, I guess it's always been in the top of my mind. And then with the 15s, when I was younger, I played 15s and always dreamed of singing the anthem and putting on the green jersey for the 15 side. So when I got my first cap, even though I'd just been to Olympics, it was still such a surreal day for me, and nothing ever feels real like going to Monaco and winning the award was like another like pinch me moment. Like I still don't think I've wrapped my head around it fully, because I had to go straight to Dubai to play on the World Series. So I'd say in the next few weeks I'll probably look back at the year and kind of reflect and take it all in.
Hello, Off The Ball rugby fans. Richie here. I want to quickly talk to you about therapy. This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. I wanted to take this time to say thank you to our wonderful producer, Jojo, because this month is all about gratitude. And along with the person I just shouted out to, there's another person we don't get to thank enough, ourselves. It's sometimes hard to remind ourselves that we are trying our best to make sense of everything. And in this crazy world, that isn't easy. Here's a reminder to send some thanks to the people in your life, including yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is answer a quick questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With almost 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise. Visit betterhelp.com/OTB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/OTB. Now, enjoy your podcast.
It's an unbelievable mindset, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. And your story is remarkable too. Like, you've lived a couple of lives in one here already. I mean, with the two versions of rugby, but also your background. So you were, I'm right saying you were born in Sydney.
Yeah, I was born in Sydney.
How long
were
you in Sydney for?
I was in Sydney for about 3-4 years and then moved to Dubai and then to Qatar. So moved to Ireland when I was 12 and... Yeah, I guess decided I was Irish. I got the harp tattoo on me when I first got my Irish passport, and yeah, haven't really looked back. But definitely rugby helped me even moving around because it was always the constant in my life. And
also, you played rugby from the start?
Yeah, I started playing rugby in Dubai.
Okay.
And then it was quite funny, I got my first sevens cap in Dubai. So it's kind of a full circle moment at the grounds where I started playing my club rugby. So
right,
unreal.
Yeah, it was quite surreal. That was still a surreal moment as well.
How important was that to have sport then, to be that constant, especially if you're moving around at such a young age?
Yeah, no, definitely it saved me a lot. Like all my best friends come from sport, and I live with the girls from my team. And yeah, growing up, all my friends I played rugby with, and moving to Ireland, I joined NACE and made friends straight away. So it was always an easy way to make friends, I guess. And yeah, I just love it.
That's class. Talk to us about WXV1, because Ireland went there with ambition and hope, but maybe not the expectation of what would actually happen. Talk us through the feeling that you had internally. Did it match the public perception?
I think going in, people really, really didn't believe in us. And we're saying that because we just completely skipped WXV2 and got shortcutted to WXV1. A lot of people are saying we weren't ready, and you know, it wasn't beneficial for us to be going into a competition where people thought we were going to just go and get absolutely hammered. And within the squad, that wasn't the feeling at all. Like, we'd been working behind the scenes, and well, the girls had been working behind the scenes for months and months in the centralized program, and we kind of just put our heads together and was like, I think we can show them that we can beat the likes of the All Blacks and the USA and stuff. And I mean, I don't know if we fully thought we'd come second in the competition now, but we knew that there was so much talent in the squad, and Scott had been working so hard to kind of make it come to life, and the rest of the coaching staff as well. And it was great that we got to go and prove ourselves. And I think that's just a tiny little glimmer of what this team can do. Mm. Like, I'm so excited for the Six Nations, because I really, really think that we can compete with the likes of France and England and do things that we've never done before. And it's even better. I feel like the Six Nations will get us the following. Like, we've two big home matches, and hopefully people will come out and watch us, and then we can put on a show for them.
I'm keen to talk about next year actually and your ambitions, but just on how well the tournament went for you personally, with the evidence right here in front of us. Sports people always talk about being in a state of flow.
And
it actually goes to any industry you work in. You get it so rarely in life that you're in a state of flow, and it's amazing, and you don't want to get out of it.
Yeah.
Is that how you would describe how you were during this tournament? Were you aware of did you allow yourself to celebrate how well it was going?
I probably personally am quite tough critic. Okay. So in the moment, I didn't really know how well I was going, because I don't know, I was still making mistakes and I wasn't perfect. So I'd probably focus on them more than the positives. And just every game, I just wanted to get better and better. And I kind of got introduced to it quite nicely. Like, I had two games off the bench, and then I got to start. And yeah, I was very nervous for the start. I was like, oh my God, I could throw it all away now. I don't know if I can even play 80 minutes, because, you know, I'd only done whatever 30 minutes. And after the Canada game, I was actually quite disappointed because we had lost it. And I was like, oh my God, my first start, I'm after losing. And then I guess the girls, we all just rallied together, and they were all filling me with confidence, and the coaches were telling me to just keep doing what I'm doing, which really helped. And then I don't think it was till after the tournament, and I watched all the games back properly and was like, oh no, I actually did better than I thought. And well, I didn't ever imagine to be nominated, let alone win the breakthrough player. So I think after that, I kind of gave myself a little bit more credit and was like, okay.
What was your phone happy more for, the viral moment at the Olympics or the receipt of this trophy?
I think both of them went crazy. Like, I didn't realise I was the first Irish woman to win the award until I'd won it.
It's incredible.
I'd seen the post and I was like, oh my God, I'd never even thought about that. Because I guess it's just something you wouldn't think about.
You must be the fastest breakthrough as well, like, specifically. The fewest number of games to win a trophy for breakthrough player of the year.
I'd say so, because I was like, oh, I obviously won't win it. Like, there's girls that have gotten a Six Nations and also the WXV.
Because the nominees were of a serious standard.
There was the Australians and the Kiwis and the English. So I just didn't think I was going to win it. And then, I was very shocked, to say the least. But very, very honoured and very lucky to be in the position I am.
Oh, absolutely. And what has it all been like for your family? Like, was the King household always a mad rugby household?
Yeah, my dad played rugby, and I have four brothers and they all played. So I suppose we're a rugby mad house. They all came to the Olympics and watched me, and they kind of like any excuse to go on holidays and come watch. But I brought my mum to the awards, which was really nice, because obviously she's, a lot of people say it, but she's kind of was my taxi driver when I was younger and always pushed me and helped me and kind of, she always believed in me and told me that I was, but like any mom does, the best. And yeah, it was nice to bring her. I think she couldn't quite believe it in Monaco. She was asking me to take photos of her with like all the rugby players. And yeah, yeah, she was kind of, yeah, it was nice to kind of give back to her for all that she's done for me.
Incredible, yeah. Yeah. I like, for the families in these situations, like it's probably even more amazing as well to look, because you're living in it and
yeah,
you don't have
that
much time to think about it.
Exactly. Yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose she can take it in. And she actually, she off the cuff just flew to Vancouver just for the Black Ferns game, which was a good one
amazing.
To come
that
up
was,
with.
She knew, like, she predicted. Well, she knew, yeah. She knew her daughter went. It's such a massive time ahead for her Irish 15s, rugby, the Six Nations and the World Cup. Is there any reason why Ireland's progress generally shouldn't continue as it is?
Shouldn't continue?
Yeah, you know, is there any barriers in the way here? Because like we touched on a while ago, we've come so far in the space of a year and a half.
Yeah, personally, I don't think so. Like, I'm in there every day training and I see the girls' progress and I can literally see us getting better and better. And I just think there's so much more to come. I think, like, it was so exciting, WXV1, and yeah, people have started picking up on, oh, geez, they're actually quite good. And hopefully we'll get the crowds at the Six Nations games and we'll put in a performance that we're proud of there leading into the World Cup, because I guess the World Cup is the big one this year. And to go and compete with the best in the world would be amazing. And we've got the Black Ferns in our pool. Like, we've got a great pool and I think we can top that pool and, yeah, win our quarterfinal. And, yeah, who knows what will happen. But, yeah, we just have to now walk the walk, I guess. And, yeah, I'm talking the talk a lot because I do have so much belief, but I fully believe that we can do it and hopefully everyone can jump on the bandwagon.
Is that amazing to be part of a squad where there is this massive belief? Like, it's radiating.
Yeah, the culture in the squad is amazing. Like, we talk about the green wave. I don't know if you've heard us talk about it, but it's the strongest wave in the ocean. And that's kind of what we call our team. And everyone who's kind of touched the program, our families, our coaches, girls that are injured at home, like, we're all part of that green wave. And together we can do anything. And yeah, that's kind of the driving force.
Sorry, the green wave is actually a thing.
It's actually a thing. Apparently it is a thing in the Irish Sea. There's actually green waves and they're the strongest waves.
Oh, pollution.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But it's, yeah, we all have notebooks that have a green wave on it. And yeah, it's just this big thing that we all fully believe in. And yeah, it's obviously working, I think.
Where did that come from? Is it a psychologist you work with or?
Sean Ryan, he came into the program to help with the culture. And yeah, he's been amazing and he's helped so much. And off pitch, we've come on leaps and bounds. And it was set up when I came in, the Sam and Adele, the captains, they kind of have been pushing it and they're brilliant. And all the girls in the performance group, they're so helpful. And they kind of taught us the green wave when we came in. And it was brilliant to learn about it and become it, I guess.
Can I ask you, when you win such a prestigious individual award, does it make you hungrier for more awards like that? Or is it still very much the team ethos? I know it's a difficult question because you're like, I'm going to say the team. But yeah. You know, the way, like, that's such an incredible lift internally. Do you want more of that?
Oh, 100%. Like, I'm always thriving for more, like, one breakthrough player of the year. But, like, when can I win world player
well,
of the year?
I was going to ask. Kind of way. I mean, is like, that the ambition?
That's the ambition. Like, I want to make dream teams. I want to, like, yeah, I want to be one of the best rugby
like
players.
Like, eat away from making
yeah,
a dream
yeah.
team. Yeah.
Like, I'm always going to be pushing to get better individually, yeah. But, like, obviously it is as a team. We win as a team and stuff. But you're lying if you don't say you want to be the best you can be. And, yeah, it's nice, obviously, to win the awards. But the success as the team, I prefer. I love winning as the team. And when the team does well, it's better. But, yeah, it's nice to get individual awards. And I'm always going to be pushing to be individually the best.
And the fact
well.
That you said it as a kid and you're actually like living your dream.
Yeah, it's surreal. Like, I still, even being here chatting to you is like everything for me is like living the dream, kind of.
Yeah, that's top. This is the top.
This is the pinnacle.
This is it.
Monaco is down here. You're sorted. Off the ball's up
straight
here.
On the LinkedIn. Straight on it. Erin, thanks so many. You've been great for your time.
Thank
coming
you so
in
much.
As well. Best of luck with 2025 and
cheers.
Beyond as well.
Appreciate it.
All right, one more order of business today. We'll talk about Braeburn here. Start your day with a little holiday cheer. Braeburn Coffee's gingerbread latte is here at Applegreen. A limited edition festive treat to make your mornings magical. Don't miss out. Christmas in a cup awaits. And there's a Christmas cup version. And there's the normal cup version. Whatever you're having yourself, there are options available.
Hello, Off the Ball rugby fans. Richie here. I want to quickly talk to you about therapy. This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. I wanted to take this time to say thank you to our wonderful producer, Jojo, because this month is all about gratitude. And along with the person I just shouted out to, there's another person we don't get to thank enough, ourselves. It's sometimes hard to remind ourselves that we are trying our best to make sense of everything. And in this crazy world, that isn't easy. Here's a reminder to send some thanks to the people in your life, including yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is answer a quick questionnaire to get matched with a therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With almost 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise. Visit betterhelp.com/OTB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/OTB. Now, enjoy your podcast.